More fights between the Trump administration and lawmakers are ending up in litigation.
We do have battles between Congress and the White House that end up in the courts from time to time, but what people I talk to say is so unusual this time is just how many we have all at once and how big the stakes are.
Plus, the Trump administration announces a $16 billion aid program for U.S. farmers. This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we get to our story on litigation between Congress and the White House, here are some other top stories we're following this Thursday. A series of storms across the Midwest and Southwest has killed at least four people, and authorities warned of additional flooding along the Missouri and Mississippi rivers in the next few days. A powerful tornado caused a three-square-mile path of destruction in Missouri's capital of Jefferson City late Wednesday. A dangerous storm system caused dozens of tornadoes earlier this week from Texas to Oklahoma, but officials say that damage was relatively limited. The system also brought heavy rain and hail. For the latest developments, head to our website, WSJ.com. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says Democrats aren't currently moving to impeach the president.
I do think that impeachment is a very divisive place to go in our country. And what we can get the facts to the American people through our investigation, it may take us to a place that is unavoidable in terms of impeachment or not. But we're not at that place.
About two dozen House Democrats have called for impeachment or to open a formal inquiry with the U.S. Justice Department. A man dubbed the American Taliban was released from an Indiana federal prison on Thursday after serving 17 years of a 20-year sentence. John Walker Lind was captured in Afghanistan in 2001 and later convicted of providing support to the Taliban. Critics of his release say they're not convinced the probation system could pick up on whether Lind returns to militant activity. The U.S. House of Representatives is taking more disputes with the Trump administration to court. This week, Democrats prevailed in two cases involving congressional subpoenas that the president had tried to block. The Wall Street Journal's Brent Kendall has more from Washington, D.C.
Tensions are pretty high between Democrats and President Trump, and we have multiple pools of disputes that have ended up as you know, batches of cases here in the courts. I mean, the most pressing one involves, you know, subpoenas to President Trump and to members of his family and his entities seeking financial records and things of the like. We have cases over the president's decision to declare a national emergency with regard to the border and to move to spend money on building a southern border wall that Congress hasn't approved. And we have a case at the Supreme Court where the president is defending his administration's decision to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census. And we still have litigation out there, pretty important litigation over the Affordable Care Act, the Obama-era health care law, which the Trump administration is no longer defending, and the House is now involved in that as well.
Many of those battles are being fought by Douglas Letter, general counsel of the House.
Douglas Letter, the new House general counsel, is somebody that Speaker Nancy Pelosi tapped after Democrats won in the midterms. Mr. Letter is somebody that's well-known around town in legal circles. He had been at the Justice Department for the better part of 40 years, starting over there in 1978. And he oversaw appellate staff in the civil division, which handles tons of litigation for the federal government. And as part of that, I mean, he has litigated cases for both Republican and Democratic administrations defending executive branch prerogatives. I mean, the interesting thing about his new job is he's looking at everything from the other side now, defending legislative branch prerogatives. So in theory, you know, he knows everything that the people who remain in the Justice Department are going to argue in these cases in defense of President Trump. And he's there arguing the other side of this.
The Journal's Brent Kendall says the way that cases play out in court will determine just how much of the president's agenda he will be able to implement.
Pretty much you pick your issue across the board. The Trump administration is in court trying to defend what it wants to do. And most of those cases haven't been fully resolved yet. And so the next year or two will be really important both for the administration and for the courts, which have to sort out all of these disputes. Some, you know, in contexts where there's not a lot of court precedent on how they should proceed. That was certainly the case in the border wall hearing here in D.C. today, where the judge said, you know, I just don't have that many cases to look to where the House has tried to sue the president like this. So it will continue to be an interesting time, at a time in our history where the president and a branch of Congress are sort of at loggerheads in a way that they haven't been in a while.
That's The Wall Street Journal's Brent Kendall. For more on the ongoing litigation between Congress and the White House, check out his article on our website at WSJ.com. Now, onto some more headlines from The Wall Street Journal. The Trump administration has unveiled a $16 billion aid program to help U.S. farmers amid ongoing trade disputes. U.S. farmers are expected to face a tougher time selling crops to China after trade talks between the two countries broke down earlier this month. U.S. farmers have already been hard hit by the protracted trade battle, which comes amid a downturn. The Farm Belt is also still recovering from devastating flooding this year. Joining me now via Skype from Chicago with more details is Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Bungie. Jacob, before we get into the challenges ahead, just how severe has this year been for U.S. farmers?
In terms of the weather, this has been one of the most tough years in a lot of farmers' memories, and the records show that in terms of moisture, it's just been one of the toughest years ever. And the problems have been on a number of different fronts. Over the winter, there was an awful lot of snow, there was cold weather, and that led to flooding in a lot of parts of the Farm Belt, and this being a problem not just for farmers, but for the companies that move crops around, the companies that process crops into different products had problems around their facilities, rail lines being washed out, the rivers overflowing the banks and making it hard to move barges around, for instance. But more recently, the problems have been just the fact that there's been too much rain for farmers to get out in their fields to do things like applying herbicides before they plant, to planting seeds. It's just been awful hard for anybody to get any work done so far.
Now, how are those conditions affecting deliveries, especially as we look ahead to the summer season?
Well, a lot of farmers place their orders for seeds and for chemicals well in advance of the planting season, but they may not take deliveries of those seeds and products until shortly before they're going to get out into the field. And the trouble for the agricultural companies that sell these farm supplies has been that farmers have been calling them up saying, I can't get out, don't bring the stuff. And that leaves farmers with a little bit more time to try and decide, are they going to plant something different? Do they decide not to plant at all? Which is a question that a lot of farmers are looking at right now. And so for the companies that sell agricultural products like Corteva, which is the agricultural division of Dow DuPont, or Bayer, for instance, the fertilizer companies like Nutrien, like CF Industries and Mosaic, they've been having trouble getting farmers to actually buy the stuff and get out into the field because it's just too wet. There's little spots where they're able to get out and do some work, but they're just so far behind.
And this year's challenges also come amid a multi-year downturn for farmers, as well as continued trade concerns.
Well, that's right. The farmers have been having an awfully tough time really for the last 4 or 5 years. And that's just a simple fact that the harvests have been so big, not just in the United States, but in some of the other big agricultural producing countries around the world, like Brazil and Argentina, for example. And this has left the world with an awfully high supply of basic agricultural commodities like soybeans and corn. And it pushes down prices. And so that's left the farmers really challenged as far as their income goes. And when the farmers don't have an awful lot of money to spend, that makes it hard for the companies selling seeds and tractors and pesticides and fertilizer. It makes it hard for them to raise prices. It makes it hard for them to maintain prices in some cases. And so it really flows through the system when there's a downturn like that. You add on top of that the trade disputes that have led to declining prices and declining export sales in some of the biggest U.S. agricultural commodities, from soybeans to pork and dairy products. And it's just been awfully difficult even before the weather here this spring.
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Jacob Bungie joining us via Skype from Chicago with more on the challenges in the U.S. Farm Belt. Jacob, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
And that's what's news for this afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.